Live from the 6th up floor basement of the Guys Games and Beer Towers, it's a Guys Games and Beer Show!
Yay!
Hooray.
How's it going, all?
It's been a week, dude. I've been drinking already for a bit.
It's good.
Teaching people how thermal expansion works.
Since last Tuesday. Oh, wait.
Yeah, good. Since last Tuesday. You're not wrong.
All right, we're going to go around the circle. We're going to start with, introduce yourself.
Oh, Larry here.
Tyler.
Dallas.
Brian.
Travis over here.
Skyboy TD.
And I'm Rob. And we're here with...
the immortal John Hancock.
Yay!
Thank you for joining us on the show tonight. Really excited to have you here and kind of...
We got big stuff to talk about tonight.
We do.
Yeah. If some of you may be joining us for the first time, I know there was an announcement last week on John Hancock's channel, and I think we definitely have some stuff to talk about, and I definitely have some questions just kind of, you know, as it pertains to your announcement last week. So, John Hancock, for those who are joining you for our audience, can you explain your YouTube channel a little bit for us?
Well, I've been doing YouTube for 16 years. And I've been collecting video games for 30. And I started out by collecting, I was in a published magazine, Tips and Tricks magazine, in the Room of Doom section back in January of 2004. And then people encouraged me to make my own YouTube channel. At the same time, I was involved with the Portland Mercer Gaming Expo. At the time, I met Metal Jesus Rocks, and I guested on his channel, and then decided to be pretty much doing my own channel eventually. And on my YouTube channel, I talk about independent video games, retro games, collections. I do a lot of independent stuff, a lot of retro. And I talk about some modern stuff. I talk about a little bit of everything. I do some modern stuff, but mostly a retro channel.
Yeah, you talk about independent game development, and you know that is the love of our life, our indie game devs. We really seek out and look for indie game devs,
especially in this day and age. Again, the amount of quality that people can put out who have passion and a vision compared to like the slop that's kind of churned out.
Other big ones. Yeah.
It's again really there's something for everybody in every genre, and again, it's really cool that there's so many different places where people can explore and find little gems for any game, any like level of experience, or any genre of game that you can ever think of.
Plus experiences that don't make it in the mainstream. I think that's one of the big things I really like. Like, for a long time, platform games were almost completely in the genre of indie games, because nobody was doing them for a while. They all had to be 3D. They all had to be like deeper, and kind of nice that they carried it through for a few years. Now you see them everywhere, but...
So, John, the bottom line is thank you for showing the indie devs love, because we love our indie devs.
That is true. All right, let's get started. Number one, because this is kind of close to my heart. You're divesting of a large section of your collection. I've actually done this already I'd say I've sloughed out about 60% of my collection at this point. G2B is kind of a separate thing. I always keep it in a separate pool. But in my personal collection, I've gone down quite a bit. For me, it's been more of I don't want my objects to own me. What got you to go?
Oh, well, lots of things. Time. Time had expired really for me. Because I wanted to collect for purpose. I wanted my collections to be appreciated by others. I tried getting a local display of my games for years. In my video, I talk about that and how it just was a really uphill battle. And it fell through. The main place that I wanted to have my games kind of fell through, the local arcade and pinball place. I worked with some other museum places to try to get that to happen, and it just didn't happen. But I really didn't want to have 11,000 video games in my house. I didn't want to have a game room. I collected with the purpose of going and pursuing complete collections, and really wanting to share that and other things. I have, you know, as you guys are going to see soon, I have lots of other stuff, and I really want other people to appreciate that.
Yeah, and I really, again, I do think, again, for everybody who kind of gets into collecting, again, there's a bug that bites them in one way or another, again, that drives that kind of passion or purpose, whether it's, again, sharing for others or reliving memories from your past. Or
well, see, and that's always been my part of the bug, John. I'm with you. I've always collected. My collection has literally been built to show. That's what I love about Guys, Games, and Beer. It's given me an opportunity to take... So it started... In a teeny tiny hotel room when MGC was back at the hotel.
2012.
Yep. Yeah. And literally, it was all about Larry bought out his collection. Rob bought out his collection. Travis bought out his collection.
Ryan wasn't here yet.
I bought out my collection.
Ryan was an embryo. No, that's not true.
We've always collected to let people play and experience what this stuff is. It's.
You're gonna get a lot more to play with.
Good. So again, a big thing about this is I hate collectors who collect, put it in a freaking plastic box, put it up on the shelf, and then never touch it again. How do we talk about games, guys?
Yeah,
games are meant to be played. If it's not played,
like toys.
What's that?
There's like some movies
like toys. Thank you.
A whole movie about it.
Yeah, there's a whole movie about it.
We get some hate about that. but. I do agree. I mean, the whole point of it is that the games are meant to be played. Or show. In some cases, you got something that's one of a kind or two of a kind. You put that on display.
Dude, no, we've got one of a kind. We bring it on all the time.
But no, I mean, if it's still in the case, I'm not going to unbox it put it on a.
All right.
But I do want people to touch it. I mean, that was one of my big complaints. That was one of my early experiences with MGC. This is like way back in the day when they were in a, I think they were in a basement at that time. It was before they were
at the Boy Scout basement. Yeah. Yes, at the Boy Scout place.
Yeah, and there was a guy there that got upset with my son because he was playing with one of the game systems. And I kind of get it. I understand. Okay, I've got that kind of urge. But I always thought about that and said, you know, I want people to see my stuff and play it. And my collection is, you know, in such a preserved state that it wasn't getting played. Now everything gets whipped out at all these conventions now.
Hence the retro rectangle.
So, John, you've been collecting for decades here. Like, I definitely want to get in some questions, a little background. Again, because, you know, as we kind of find out what this next chapter looks like for you and, you know, partnering with us, I definitely want to, like, ask some questions. Just so, you know, was there like a first game or like console that like really bit you, that really like accelerated your love for gaming?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I started out, my very first console growing up was a Radio Shack TV scoreboard.
Oh, nice.
So my dad was not a gamer, but he probably picked it up cheap, like $20, and he thought it'd be fun, so he brought it home, and we gamed with my older brother. I have two brothers. I grew up with one. The other one, I found out I had another brother when I was older, a little older. And so, really the thing that kind of put me on video games was the Sega Genesis. And so, it was the first console that I earned with my own money. I grew up in the heyday of that, and collecting that was so much fun. So really, I Sega Genesis, 16-bit, Turbo Graphics, Super Nintendo. Oh, yeah. Nintendo, those are like probably the power four for me. Game Boy probably had that. And then later on, I got to appreciate, I grew up with the Lynx. Had a Lynx in high school.
Oh, geez.
Got to appreciate that.
Oh, geez.
In early college, I got an Atari Jaguar on clearance. the power four, I would say, would be Genesis, TurboGrafx 16, Nintendo, Super Nintendo.
Oh, yeah.
When you say that clearance sale for the Jaguar, that was like, you know, same day of release date, right?
Yeah. Pretty much. Oh, that hurts, man.
Oh, yeah.
That hurts.
Yeah, 95 was being clearance out at KB Toys so I could afford it. I was in there kicking that shit down and just like, I mean, I got a Jaguar and a bunch of games for like under $100.
Yeah. Heck yes.
TurboGrafx 16 did the same thing. I mean, you know, like if you went, did you get yours at Toys R Us?
Yeah, he just said Toys R Us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's it. That is the way to get it on clearance. It was awesome, man.
And here I am, the one that got the 3DO.
I think lately, I think lately the TurboGrafx 16 has finally gotten its due.
Yeah.
But for years
we'll
it was like
make the PCFX happen next. I swear. It'll have it stay in the sun.
Let the underdog.
There are dozens of us, literally dozens.
Yeah.
You got my old one, right?
The king of underdogs.
Yeah.
I have two.
So I actually fixed it, and then you took it. That was like for years. Remember how it would fail? Like So I fixed it, and then sold it to you.
I cleaned it up, tuned it up. I've got a few of them. So
I'm not as gracious as John is. I sell the mother effers. There's no question.
So
there's no giveaways on me.
So, you know, again,
you give away all the time.
I do love the fact that you did the Toys R Us clearance. That's how I got my very first Vectrex for $49. $49.
Oh, hell no.
Oh, yeah.
Never told me that.
They started out like $300, and they were clearing them out for $49 in the end. That's when I bought my very first one. So we loved Toys R Us. When they cleared things out, they cleared them out.
God, I miss Toys R Us.
Great deal at 7800 at KB Toys.
Oh, KB Toys was another one that did that.
7800?
Yeah.
So, like, again, at what point, like, when you were collecting, like, this came, just, you know, wasn't... at what moment do you realize, hey, this wasn't just like, okay, I have this like pile of games. You realize like you were actually collecting things.
Well, I probably define collecting by having more games than what I could play.
That is a fair definition.
I was sitting that in high school, but mostly in college. But there was a period of time that I sold part of my original collection off to date. And so, but then I,
that sounds right,
priorities. I sold some of my collection off, regretted it, and then I started collecting again, like Master System, Odyssey 2, and Nintendo. So, 1995.
Yeah, I think, Rob, what did you tell me? You've rebought same systems like three, four times?
Don't ask me to sell it back to you.
TurboGrafx. Three times.
Each time you have about
20. I have sworn, though, that I will never eject my Dreamcast again. I've ejected Dreamcast on five separate occasions. I will never do it again. I'm sorry.
So
I understand. Was it? You know, it's always like you feel like you're going through a stage in your life, right? And it's like, I'm gonna get rid of this thing, and then like, how many times have you run into it like 10, 15 years later and gone, oh my god, I sold that for $5 and it's $500 now.
You'll have to keep it in your house for 15 years.
Yeah. There's definitely an aspect of like, again, getting to the point where it's like, it's more than you have on your playlist, right? Again, it's definitely it has been come from an interesting position of doing this from the event side of like, you know, I early on in my collecting, I made the mistake of like, the one thing I wish I wouldn't have sold were extra consoles. I was like, oh, yeah, I buy, like, a Super Nintendo and games. I was like, oh, I need those extra consoles so I can set up more stations.
Yeah.
I made that mistake, like, the first 5 years in collecting. And I was like, okay, that was, like, something. Again, I didn't really, again, I don't very often, I'm much more of a hoarder than a, so it was just kind of like, but it was like, when I was like, when I had like doubles.
Well,
and
that's
triples,
a fine line.
Yeah.
Game hoarder versus
it's a
game
very
collector.
Pretty hoarder, though, all right? I'm a very organized hoarder.
You see my basement.
Yeah, I.
So you are a more organized.
Also,
wall
control. If you want to sponsor me anytime, I'm going poor from buying your shelving. Please help me.
Your collecting, John, you said you worked at trying to complete. Did you complete like a whole collection, like all the titles? Like I've seen that, or like a subset, like all the platformers or all the. Like, for me, I collect light gun games.
I'm all in.
You're all in?
36 collections complete.
Oh, yeah.
And the beer is getting subtle. And so I was more of a, I would go for, like, the base set of something, and then I would go for, like, variations, and then I would go for greatest hits, and then I would go for, like, Umbrun aftermarket. And so, like, I was kind of an all in. I had one hobby. Nothing really, like, I did cards, like, growing up as a kid, I went from baseball cards to, or sorry, comics to cards, cards to figures, action figures and toys, and games. As a teenager, that just really kind of stuck. So once I started collecting games, I just didn't look back, and been doing that for so long. And at some point, I like what you said earlier. I heard that when the collection starts owning you,
yeah.
And I definitely hit that. I definitely started hitting that. You know, I've had it at my house for a long time. I've not wanted it at my house for this long. It was it started to really weigh on me years ago. And then in the last couple of years, I had like mentally kind of divorced myself from the games. Like, it wasn't mine. I'm caretaking it, but I'm really ready for it to go to the next phase. So, and I feel relieved. I feel relieved. I can't tell you how good it feels. I feel probably even better when
I get
the
it.
Games are not in my.
I think this is a common feeling for me. You know, like I haven't collected the extent of much of the table. You know,
you hide yours pretty well.
Yeah,
I
pretty, you're kind of like the hoarder that keeps everything in the closets.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but you know, curate very specific. But there's a certain point where I look at this stuff and go, someone should be enjoying this, you know. So it's like I gotta sell it. I gotta do something with it because it's just sitting there, and there's gotta be someone out there that would enjoy this, you know.
And that is important. It, again, games are meant to be played, whether it's a board game, a card game, a video game.
I do get like keeping
the feeling of the it's owning me or whatever. Yeah. It's not so much it's owning me. It's like this responsibility. It's like I'm apologizing to the games that they're not being played.
I'm okay with the idea of keeping physical games that are sealed just so you can look at it like it was in. As long as you're handling them and looking at them and enjoying them, I'm good with that. I think the big problem is when you start getting so many games that you're never going to play them and you're never going to enjoy them. Mm-hmm. By the way, I wanted to go on to a different tech. Are you guys good with
shifting
tech?
Yeah.
Okay. I do want to know kind of like what your channel looks like or what your gaming future looks like. So you're going to focus on things that you really want to play, right? Is that the idea?
Yeah, I mean, yes. I think the number one thing is to really get my space and my gaming time back. I feel like I'm a retired collector. And so, but I'm going to keep a couple things. So there's a couple things I'm going to keep. The Evercade collection, because I think that's a cool kind of one to play.
Yes.
Is I have the entire Evercade collection. I still work with the company, and I love their products. And so I think it's a fun one because I get a little bit of everything with that. I get a little bit of 16-bit. I get a little bit of arcade. I get a little bit of classic computer. And that, to me, if I was, like, restart collecting, which I'm not, it would be everything.
Yep, I mean.
And so I'm keeping my original Neo Geo stuff, but not my MVS stuff. You guys get that. My original U.S. Neo Geo and all my dog tag and all my... I have a couple homebrew cards. That's because that was the first system I wanted to earn. So I couldn't save up enough money, and it ended up compromising with the Sega Genesis.
When did you pick up your Neo Geo, by the way?
When? I bought several. I would say probably early 2000s. I didn't have one growing up. I couldn't afford it. I picked one up. My first Neo Geo, I got at an early Portland Retro Gaming Expo and or eBay, early 2000s. So that's
awesome.
Portland Retro Gaming Expo is like 2006, the first one. So I want to say around that time. It's kind of fuzzy, but 20 years.
I remember it was very expensive.
I wanted one, but I never could afford one.
Yeah, right?
More to the
right.
Point.
I used to go there used to be – do you guys remember the hyper localization. There used to be on 16th Street, there used to be a gaming shop,
yes.
A small gaming shop, and they actually had Neo Geo. And we were always looking at that thing going like, oh my God, I wish I could afford it.
You're talking about the console, right?
Yeah,
the console.
Yeah. Only $600 bucks in 1980.
Oh, yeah. Oh my God, it was so expensive. Yeah. It never really lost value, did it?
No, it didn't.
Don't give me a tirade about Teenage Year. I could talk about that for hours. So
yeah. So you talked a little bit about Evercade. I'm a big Evercade fan. I've got every game.
I've got my Evercade, but I don't have every
game.
Yeah,
I bought you an Evercade, and I keep buying you games for it.
I know, but I don't have everyone yet. I'm working on that.
Larry's next, it's by the way. Just so you know, Larry, eventually it's coming to you as a gift.
Darn legacy cards.
Yeah.
Cards are killing me.
I'm missing 8 because of the stupid legacies.
I know.
So
they're pricey too.
There's especially in established, we see collecting as, you know, kind of part of being part of this community, and again sharing that with the, you know, decade plus of events we've done. Again, I know there's a lot to you and your channel and your collection that kind of, you know, represents your values and your goals. Like, as it came to collecting, like, are there like anything like you kind of like wish to convey about, like, you know, what you kind of like wish those kind of next steps to be in kind of, you know, passing on part of that collection to share with others?
I mean, that's part of the reason why I'm contributing 40% to Guys Games of Beer, just to have it appreciated by others. Mm-hmm. And I feel great about that. If I'm answering your question correctly, I think for me, it's important to kind of get my space and my time back. I've worked 65 plus hours for the last almost 20 years.
Wow.
I'm tired.
Yeah.
I'm going to continue my channel, but I've really kind of tuned down my channel just to do the stuff I want to do. The stuff I'm keeping, my Atari stuff, my 2600 plus, 7800 plus.
Hell yeah.
Some analog stuff so I can capture footage. Not much though. I mean, in the big scheme of things, not much at all.
We can speak to that. Like, again, like going over this past 14 years of shows, we are lucky we have a larger crew of people to run it. Doing conventions or shows, we are so lucky to have Rob, be our kind of spearhead for the YouTube show. Again, it's a lot. And again, there's a lot, the amount of editing time, the amount of time for community and everything. Again, we're very lucky to have a larger crew to help share that. But
and also as
in between that, I was teaching college,
I did a
charity event for almost 10 years, Cal's Gamers for Kids, so I did my own charity event. That took a lot of time.
Damn.
And so I was working two jobs and doing YouTube at one point, and the charity event, and that was like hitting burnout. A little bit, and then I feel like right now I'm in a good spot because I'm doing all the things I want to do. My wife went through cancer a couple years ago, and then it's cancer-free.
Yeah,
yeah.
We love that.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I have some good time with her left, and so I'm traveling, spending some time with her, and just enjoying the game. I think enjoying games, but not getting consumed by collecting it. And really, it feels great.
Yeah, I still get that. I mean,
yeah.
It's just so hard.
Again, we're lucky we've got the Guys Games and Beer outlet.
Yeah, but I think we all have gone down this road of piles of stuff and trying to, you know, keep it all organized and all running and all, you know, and
yeah, I can think about all the shows.
What were we doing this week, Larry?
Yeah, I mean, we were, you know, we worked on some arcade cabinets.
Again,
we can think of the cons where, again, people were rough on gear and have broken things and needed service. Like, and again, that's why, like, and again, as collectors, I mean, I know, again, it comes up time and time again, is to really find those things you're truly passionate about for yourself that recharge you. Again, for us, it's been a little different because I think part of it is like, hey, this is our personal drive, as well as this is like, we are the YouTube show. I mean, is a big part of who we are, but it's also, again, those live events are really,
it's become smaller and smaller, and I'm fine with that. One of the really hard things, it's one of those things I understand as a YouTuber on multiple sites is, I think people should understand that you're like one guy, right? You're not a team.
Yeah.
I do all my editing. It's a lot because it's not just the videos, but then it's like I try to respond back to fans of the channel. I try to promote it. That takes time.
It's
hard.
It's a lot.
Emails and all that. And like, I at some point, it was a fork in the road of like, well, I can start taking YouTube more seriously and be a YouTuber, or do I use YouTube as a creative outlet, as an outlet for my stressful day job, and I can just be me and just do whatever. And I, at some point, this last couple of years, to be honest, and just like, I don't really care as much if a video does great. I don't do it for that reason. But I had to like make a serious like decision of like, because you know I kind of climbed the mountain with that. Even though I got my silver play button and that was great.
Yeah.
And after that, I was just like, oh cool, this is all bonus stuff. But everybody's asking me like,
well, oh what's next? What's next?
Do you want to have it full time as a job? And I said never, because it's so inconsistent.
Yeah.
It is really unstable with income, and I never really like. Yeah, I get some money, but like less than people think.
It's like there's two Robs in the room right now.
He said income.
Yeah, and so like, you know, it's a thing, and like I just use it for really my creative outlet to like share what I think. I have an audience, and it's been great. I really enjoyed YouTube this last year. It can be tiring, it's awesome. But like, if I make a video and it gets terrible views, I don't care anymore. I got to do what I got to talk about with the amount of time I had. And because I'm putting in like 12 to 16 hour days, I just, at some point, I'm just like, I'm good.
Yeah.
Hell no, yes.
Literally, like Travis just said, it's like there's two Robs in the room. We've heard this all before. It's a lot of work. And again, we've always done this.
Yeah, so but
we like spending time together. Exactly.
One of the big things about Guys, Games, and Beers, I have people to carry the load with me. I mean, I've got, like, all you guys. I mean, you make it much easier. When you go to a show, you guys mostly handle the show. I have to handle my part, but you guys take care of all the
back-end. That's because you do our week-to-week work. You know, I really appreciate that.
I appreciate you guys doing the other thing, too, but it's really, like, hard. The nice thing about this, and I think it's one of the things you've run into too, is when I started Guys, Games, and Beer, like years ago, when the idea came out, I was working for one European review thing, and I was doing iGame Radio at the same time. I was doing a podcast. I actually liked working for both of them, to be honest, but I found them so restricting, and I just kind of wanted to do my own thing. And I'm like, I know like the most talented people ever. And we should do a podcast.
They fell through, and then we came.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, Guys, Games, and Beer. But I mean, it's really hard, and I get it because my channel's done alone. That's really hard. I mean, you've done a really serious achievement. Have you ever felt like the urge to like follow the trends?
At first, like when I was making traction, and like I am blessed to have a lot of successful friends that were like, I was seeing they were gaining traction, and I kind of got caught into that. And there's nothing against that, but like I just had to like really determine and kind of go back to what I said before, do I really want to like do this as a channel and like as a job? Or do I want it as a creative outlet? Because you can't do both.
Yeah, like that's true.
If you're really wanting to be like trending and doing it, you're gonna put in a lot of time. And I have friends that are really successful at it. And I looked at what they're doing and the topics they were doing, and I don't know about you, like I feel like we have a connection because there's trends to like do certain types of topics that will get huge views.
But you didn't know how to do a lot of outrage?
I don't want to talk about those games. I want to talk about the game that, like, is so freaking obscure, or it's on an obscure system, or that. I get the urge to do that. Like, I'm going to do a video tomorrow, and it probably is not going to do well, but it's what I want to do.
That's been the
thing. People are smart chance to talk about this, but I'm fascinated with this topic, and, like, I'm gonna like do an indie video tomorrow because it's what I have time for, and I'm excited about talking about it, and I'm just going to do it. I do mainstream products as well. I've worked with Atari, and those videos do really well, but I like to do everything. That's retro, and sometimes I like to go off the deep end for obscure.
What kind of a topic right now?
I know you know it. I know you know it. What was your Atari 7800 number when you got your review copy?
Serial?
Yep. What was the number?
I have multiple consoles.
No, I mean the one you got from Atari.
In the fancy box?
The fancy box one.
Which one?
It's a black one where you open it up.
The 2600 plus, you're talking
about that? I didn't get that one, the 7800 plus. The 7800 plus when they sent the one with like 6 games or whatever, or 10 games or whatever.
Yeah, so I'd have to look at it, but I have the 2600 bundle, the promo pack, I have a Pac-Man pack, and I have the Atari computer pack.
I asked Jesus what
Metal
number
Jesus.
He got.
Metal Jesus.
Yeah, I just like to call him Jesus. What number he got? Do you know what number that asshole got?
One.
I mean, I like him, so I can say that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's fair.
What number?
He got number one.
I knew it.
That ass.
Yeah.
I have some that are low serial, I have some that aren't. Pac-Man, I think, was number 30.
Did they rejigger Pac-Man?
Yeah.
No, I got 16 for the 7800 plus, which is pretty good. I think.
Atari go back and rejigger to the 2600.
No,
Pac-Man.
No,
no, it's a 2600 plus.
To be like a good Pac-Man.
No. So I go to Metal Jesus. I go to Metal Jesus. Hey, dude, what number did you get?
The one that Atari initially sold the Pac-Man collection.
Yeah.
With the and not the first one. It's the second one.
So I go to Metal.
So this one right here is the 40th anniversary,
mm-hmm.
and that's the one with the Yamaha sound.
Oh, yeah.
So if you play it,
nice.
Now you can play it in the 2600 plus and 7800 plus, but it plays Yamaha sound.
So again, before we get too far from that last point,
yeah, really, far,
no, but, I want to fuck with Metal Jesus for a little bit. I just like
there's this. So he brought up a really interesting point. Again, basically, again that between again
he's nice
putting stuff up for your YouTube audience, and again they're real people, but also it has been a dichotomy of very different of what we've experienced at live events, right?
Like, yes.
What people are passionate about and like share with each other in person is different than what we interact with people online about. And that's been really interesting. And again, like I know that again between you know great cons like Midwest Gaming Classic and Pittsburgh Gaming Expo, like we've had some time to share with you. But like again, the people we interact with those shows who are really there for the passion and the love of it. I always love hearing what people fire them up and like sharing that with them. And
yeah.
It's different. It's absolutely different than the trends you chase on YouTube.
I think one of my favorite things, I don't watch a lot of YouTube channels that have to do with gaming. Large reason is I do not like to be, I do not like to be like influenced. Like I don't like bandwagoning at all. Bandwagoning.
Bandwagon.
I don't like
wagon?
It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's start with
that. Bandwagoning at all. I do, one of the things I really like about your channel is you do seem to talk about whatever the hell you feel like.
Right. So, like, in your collection, what's one of the more weird
what
things?
What does that have to do with that?
We're running far afield, kids. Let's get back on track.
I'm trying.
God damn it, Larry.
You know things in my collection?
I haven't
done... Yeah, you had said that you like to talk about, like... on your show, you really want to just talk about the things that you want to talk about, which is often the more weird things. So, what's one of the weird things in the collection?
Well,
White Valley Astrocade. I got two of them.
Oh yeah, So do I. So yes, I understand that completely.
I don't know what that is. What is
really
the Astrocade came out in the '70s, before your time.
So the Valley Astrocade was a computer console hybrid. It failed. It came out as the Valley Home Library Computer System. Then it may change a couple of different ways. Astrocade, Astrovision, Valley Computer. It failed the market. It came out in little cartridges that looked like cassette tapes. You could actually house the games in a cassette case. There was about 50 games for it. It includes the best version of Wizard of War. It was called Incredible Wizard because the hardware inside the computer, the Valley, the Astrocade, is close to the arcade machine. So it has a really good Wizard, Incredible Wizard of War version. And some other games that are fun. Dog Patch, Artillery Duel is my favorite. I talk about that. I've done homebrews and stuff. I've talked about homebrew. There's homebrew for the game console. It's super hard to get. Overheats. You have to like mod it to like make it run more.
Okay, so I mean, is it going on? What do you think the failure of that system was?
Oh, about 75%.
Shitty marketing.
Oh.
It overheated. it was kind of between two worlds because it was a part game console, part computer. It had a chiclet calculator.
It was a chiclet
part. You had to program the games on. It didn't have a full-blown keyboard. So that was hard. It was just really failed, I think, to get a foothold in the market.
And the joysticks on that, John, were just unbelievable. So the joysticks look like a pistol grip with this little triangle on top.
Combine a toothpaste top with a gun handle and a paddle and a controller. And
yeah.
That's what you got for
So for those of you who have not been to our shows, we do bring out the Bally Astrocade because it's such a unique piece of history. We own a couple of them as well. We bring them out to shows. They are truly, I agree with you though. It was such an underrated.
Is that the one I can't get to work at all?
Yes, that's the one you don't know how to play. Not that you can't get to work.
It's terrible.
How to play it.
To be fair, the Astrocade was way ahead of its time.
It was. Bally.
As far as the gameplay and the graphics, it's just the controller sucked ass. It did suck
ass.
They
were different.
On a side note, there's really some good homebrew games for it that were rare to get on cart. War, which is Warlords. It was a really good version of Warlords. And then there was a Crazy Climber made for it in the
aftermath. And because it has the two controllers, it's perfect.
That's cool.
It just came in all, and for the console as well.
All right, so you can be like left, right.
Yeah, you can.
Left, right.
Because it had the two controllers wired, hardwired to it, you could do that. All right.
So I'm going to skip around a little bit here. But, shoot.
Sorry, way to go, Ryan. Talking to the camera, damn it.
Yeah. So I guess
my thought not is camera.
I'm one of the people that kind of joined the group after they already had started, and part of my passion was like I had a collection in my basement that was kind of like, stuff I had from a kid and growing up, and seeing these guys for the first time, over 10 years ago now.
Yeah.
So it kind of leads me down the road of like, I like to let people see all the stuff that's unique and whatnot, and part of the with your collection kind of being split up and some of it coming to us, what is like one of the things that you're probably most interested for us to possibly display and share, because, there's all these pieces of the collection that are, important and you want people to see it. I mean, and be able to play it. I mean, do you think of like what?
Yeah, I mean, I know that you're going to do something with some of it, but like, I'm not big on micromanaging and like, you have your own setup and.
Oh. Yeah,
I think just having some of it at shows would be great.
Yeah,
and for me, I got so much weird stuff. You're gonna get my whole Ouya, everything Ouya that I have.
Oh, you just made Ouya,
Ouya forever. I do Ouya displays everywhere.
I know those can be modified, so that'd be kind of fun to see one of those. And you're getting the
signed
Ouya back.
I think it's hilarious. You literally traded me for that one.
Like everything I have, including the white Ouya, which is
I can't wait.
And the winter edition or whatever, and some other stuff, and even the one I got here. You're getting everything. So I don't know. I got other stuff. I have Virtual Boy collection, Dreamcast collection, a bunch of homebrew stuff for that.
Yeah.
you know, you're getting all my Vectrex stuff, including the 3D goggles. Just not the console, but a complete Vectrex collection.
Which is great because
not the real Homebrew games.
We show the Madtronics version of the imager, and the thought of having the real one displayed with the Madtronics that people can actually put on is going to be amazing.
I have plans for the
Ouya. Yeah. By the way, with all the paperwork.
Perfect.
So, and again, like I know, again, some of you people may be joining us for the first time. So I really, again, want to just, again, thank you for sticking with us and kind of hearing kind of like, you know, what we have and what our intentions are. Again, we're Guys Games and Beer. We do this YouTube show. We're a group of friends who like spending time together. And we like doing these events to share things, you know, with the community. Again, we've been doing dozens of shows each year across the U.S. and Canada. And, like, I am really excited to really have this next permanent step. And again, we tentatively called the Immortal Collection. I want to workshop that.
We'll workshop that with you.
I'll put that into the OBS section as well.
Yeah, I just, and again, like, I really, there is so much cool energy and talent with the people who share this with you. Again, people who create indie games and people who collect and curate and people who bring things to shows like us. Like, it is, like, the reason we've been doing this for so long, I know, is again, because of the community, and we love sharing that energy and hearing what fires other people up and talking shop. Like, again, it's so cool to go to a con and then you're like, you're showing something on display and somebody comes to be like, oh, you know, I worked on that. And I'm like, what? Like when I was on the PCFX, the English Team Innocent translation, like you just never know who you're going to meet, right?
That's crazy.
So like, you know,
wait,
John,
you kept yours running? Wait, I fixed mine before I gave it to you.
Yeah.
That pisses me off.
I mean,
I fix everything.
I'll borrow it to you
sometime. Give it away. No, it's
all right. So, John, again, like, I know there's got to be a lot of, like, complicated emotions and kind of, like, figuring out this next chapter. Like, how do you hope people kind of view this next chapter and kind of making sure things are experienced in this Immortal Collection?
When I first met you folks, I was like, man, these guys are awesome. It's like pure gaming organization that I had some, you know, if I'm being honest, like, that's hard to regulate and have, because, like, I've been part of gaming clubs and organizations, and either they lost interest or they grew into something else or something, and so, like, having such a great group of people that are passionate about it, like, I don't know. It's just, like, to me, my emotions aren't really complex. It's pretty, like, I'm happy and relieved that my game collection is moving on. Now, I got emotional this last PRGE when my Nintendo set was on display for the last time, and I knew it.
And they
said thank you, and they gave me part of the display case and stuff, and that was emotional. But, like, I had already said goodbye to my collection. I'm sure I'm going to have more of that, but it's more of happiness because I'm giving it to people that are going to do something about it and do something with it. And, like, I'm not, like, you don't have to do some big thing of, like, yeah, I know you're going to appreciate it, but, like, just know that it's to be appreciated. And you guys have done a lot for the community, and it's just going to be loved, and have fun and make some cool displays. And I'm sure you're going to
love cool displays.
If it's like, hey, we can use Hancock's collection, we don't have to use our personal ones for this display.
Yeah, I'm still going to use it. But yeah.
I want people to be relieved. I want people to be relieved. It's like, no, Hancock wants us to use this. And, like,
thank you.
You don't have to sacrifice your Uber Rare or something. Use mine.
Oh, no. I have a follow-up question on that. So, like,
I feel like Rob's going to have, like, a pyramid of Ouyas.
All right, hold on.
Go ahead.
So, like, along those lines, like, what are you hoping that people, like, learn about you through, like, the way that we present this collection while we're on the road? Again, we travel a lot of places, and again, it's really important that community and that history has shown. We've done that. Like, we're very lucky for people like Pack Rat Games, who have really kind of punched up our Steel Battalion.
Mm-hmm. No, Pack Rat Games did our Curse Halo.
Curse Halo, sorry.
Right.
And then Mike, his brother, but it was Quake. His brother,
though. His brother-in-law.
That, again, so again, it is really about the community. So again, really, when we bring this to people at events, like, what are you hoping people learn about you?
I think that was just it was always the purpose and intent for my collection to have purpose. And if you're playing games, playing my collection, I couldn't be happier. Awesome. And so that's really, I'm not a wordy person. And I think that just people appreciating games and getting back to the passion of playing games and appreciating and playing with friends and just like that's, when I think of Guys, Games, and Beer, that's like at the heart of it. It's just pure passion for gaming. I think it's coming home. Like, it's just like I feel like you're going to do something with it more than I could have ever done. Other places had opportunity to do something with it, and they didn't want it. So, like, it's okay. I mean, it's okay, Guys, Games, and Beer, if you have sloppy seconds, thirds. Because
we don't care.
Won't be the last time. We're used to that.
Like, for it to go to contribute. And so, I don't know. I think just that I collected it with intent for people to appreciate it. And if you're taking it to shows, that is fulfilling my biggest dream.
Thank you. And again, from our perspective, and again, I really want to be speaking to people who might be tuning in, who might not be as familiar with, you know, our history and our cause, right? So it's like, again, regardless of the decisions that people make, like, we're doing this because we love this. We like spending time with each other.
Well, we have dealt with each other.
I can't get over the
Larry YouTube hates video all that of us.
That we watched. Unbeknownst to us, there was a YouTuber that came through with her child.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh, my God. Yeah.
At court. And, that was at court cop.
And you know, we were just being us.
Yeah.
We didn't know we were being
that she was some YouTuber. Yeah.
No, I mean, that's fair.
That's just us.
And it was just being us. And she
the Atari.
To Atari and the
GameStation. Child
was special. So, you know, it was like she was appreciative that our group just spent time with them and just talked to them and played with them and took time. And that is probably the best element of what we do.
All right, are we good? All right, so I do want to point out some things.
Point out some things, Rob.
Because there's been questions asked about Guys, Games, and Beer and what kind of organization we are. I want to point out that there is no one person who can make a decision in Guys, Games, and Beer. We are largely collective. We are more run like a club than we are than any other kind of organization. Things that are owned by Guys, Games, and Beer are owned by Guys, Games, and Beer. So no one can sell. There's nobody. I can sell my stuff that I've thrown into Guys, Games, and Beer. Larry can. We all can. But if things are owned by Guys, Games, and Beer, there is no ability to sell. So I want to make that very clear. We are more of a club than an organization officially. We are applying for nonprofit, but it is not something we really... Yeah, it takes forever. It's not something we're really concerned about because we run it as a club.
Right.
We want Guys, Games, and Beer to be a place where people can go to check out games. And that is our real focus.
Which, as Larry was just saying, they do. And that's what I love.
It's really why I think John donated like 40% of his donations to us. It's because we are focused on...
40%.
40. I said 40, right?
No, it sounded like you said 20. It sounds like you said 20.
It sounded like 20 at least.
How drunk am I? 40%. All right, so 40% of his collection to us. It is largely because we go from place to place and we have a mobile way of showing people games that we want to show them. And yeah, yes, it is true that not every show will have everything, but we rotate through them and we will show pretty much everything. And honestly, if you have a question, if you want to see something, send it out to admin@guysgamesandbeer.net and we'll show something at the next show you want to see.
Yeah. But that being said, because
we want people to enjoy it. That's the whole point of Guys, Games, and Beer is enjoying games.
Exactly. Yeah. Like we talked about earlier, it's all about being able to play the game. Not just
like hanging out with y'all.
So. Yeah, well, that too.
That too.
That too. We've always been about showing stuff that most people will never get a chance to get their hands on or see. Whether it's like when we built, literally this group built a custom arcade cab with a Vectrex in it. Whether it's something like that, which is a one-of-a-kind machine you will see nowhere else in the world.
That was a pain.
Or, yeah, but it's beautiful.
Come try to blow up one of my Steel Battalion controllers, man.
Thank you.
Those things are really bulletproof.
We lived Guys, Games, and Beer.
Yeah, we literally spent our summer.
The world large. Yeah, we spent a summer cleaning them. we literally own the largest collection of Steel Battalion controllers in the world. We love, but
and
even though
bring them up,
oh,
even though they
get shown and played with. That's,
thank
like,
you.
That's the beauty of what we try to do.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Ryan just hit it right on the head. It's shown and played with.
Yeah.
It's not just, oh, we have this big collection. We're just...
Yeah, please, we post our tour dates, you know, this first quarter every year. Please come visit us. Where again, we travel around the states.
There may be a few new tours.
Please come visit us. Please come talk with us.
I feel like the collection is going to get some smiles.
Oh heck yes!
Over the years.
Oh heck yes! I've already got plans for a new display. So a lot of what I do, John, is I design a lot of the displays we put up. As far
the reason
as,
our room looks so good is this man right here.
I spend a lot of time.
Screw you, Ouya is all me, and I'm going to make it
you
awesome.
You go with it. You go with it.
I am spreading the gospel of Ouya.
I am good with that. So we spend a lot of time on displays. We don't just...
I've thrown people out.
So,
no, I'm just kidding.
So that actually started in the early days when we all used to go to shows, and we'd go to a room, and it was like, oh, that's kind of... nice, but nobody would talk to you. Nobody would explain what the system was.
The Jonas story.
They would literally throw it on a table. That's not our style. We do lighting effects and explanations and placards, and we really go to town.
And please take care.
Yeah,
these
yeah.
are old
yes.
systems.
Be gentle with me. I'm old. Oh, come on.
We literally tagged it on all of us.
We literally, yeah, well, that's us too. But. We really look forward to showing everything you have done. I'm sorry, and I know you we'll workshop it with you, but I do like the name, the Immortal Collection.
It's a starting point.
No, I'm like,
I think it's a great starting point.
You don't need to workshop that. That's awesome. I'm going to put that on the.
So and,
I'm
and again,
tag
we,
that.
Again, I'm really excited to. Again, I've been hired a designer to kind of start working on some branding. Again, I want that again be a focus of our shows going forward. Again, we not like we don't have plenty of banners to display.
Thank you.
And again, I'm really excited. I mean, at this point, I mean, you know, with such a generous gesture, I mean, there's no doubt that, you know, John Hancock is Guys, Games, and Beer forever. And
yes,
we will definitely be you know, continuing to look forward to building some cool stuff together soon.
And we'll see you at the MGC after party.
Oh yeah.
Yes, I'm coming. Indirectly to people, but yes.
So, I'm sorry about that.
The sign that you gave me right here. Sorry, I know you can't see it. But anyways.
Wait.
That I have on my channel.
Awesome.
I saw the shirt you gave me. thank you for that. Guys, Games, and Beer. So
it took me hours to design that.
You can work around here. And I'm honored. I'll be honorary guest member.
Oh, you are so Guys, Games, and Beer.
By the way, that is a staff shirt that we gave you. That
of course
we gave
it
you
because he is.
Yeah.
So you are so Guys, Games, and Beer.
That is like a stand. That is like a it literally yeah. It is staff shirts have
yeah,
our names on it.
No, because we don't give away. We they're all
staff
shirts.
they're all staff shirts.
Dude, they're all staff shirts. Nobody else gets those damn shirts.
We don't sell merch.
Yeah, I mean, so just to let people know, an entire Super Nintendo collection, a Dreamcast collection, Vectrex, and TurboGrafx, and not a complete TurboGrafx CD, but everything I have, and lots of computer stuff, Amiga,
it's usually
PC,
me,
Amiga CD32. And so, and then there's other stuff as well.
Are there, I want to point out the Wii and Wii U will be there as well.
I am actually working on restoring a Wii U kiosk right now.
That's awesome.
I am working on bringing it to full glory.
You know, so John, we could do that.
Are there specific parts that you're looking forward to the community engaging with, or like that you would like to see them engage with specifically?
I mean, just with the collection?
Yeah. Are there any parts you're like, oh man, people should be playing that more?
Ouya.
Sorry. I know there's going to be an Ouya setup. So. TurboGrafx, Super Nintendo. I mean, there's just some good stuff to like have fun and just. I think sometimes when you do public displays, hey, what's popular, what's working, and you have enough stuff to experiment with. So many cool things that you're going to get. That'll be fun. It'll be fun to see, like, you know, what you end up displaying and stuff. That's going
to
be cool.
All right, John, I'm not going to lie to you. There's going to be a ton of Amiga stuff displayed. So literally the very first room we ever set up, we had Pinball Dreams.
Oh, we did the network.
No, that was a different one. That was a stunt car. That was stunt car.
Off on Amiga. I like the idea of Amiga.
Bringing it back. Yeah.
And was it Skid Marks? Was the
Oh, Super Skid Marks, yes.
With the two screens.
Yeah.
So when we first started doing displays, I'm a big Amiga guy. I'm a big Commodore guy. But the Amiga was kind of my jam. Literally the first year the very first room we set up, I ran a CD32 in it, running Pinball Fantasies. People loved the heck out of that.
That's
and then
pinball.
One of the later rooms we did, I had, on Super Skid Marks, you can network two Amigas together and have two screens, and you literally race around between screens. Amiga did such amazing things. So I'm going to say, I'm looking forward to displaying Amiga stuff again. We haven't done it in ages, and once we put this into our collection, and I'm going to bring out some of my Amiga stuff to add to that, I'll make quite the Amiga display.
Yeah, we've lost him.
Yeah.
Oh, he said that.
Really?
Is behind?
Extra Amigas, they need some repair.
Not a problem.
A bunch of Atari ST stuff, which I got along the way, and a Mega Forum box.
Ooh.
So, like, a really nice ST setup.
Nice.
My Amiga 500's been in repair for over 15 years.
Well, that's your fault.
It's kind of.
All right. Okay, Rob, we should wrap this up.
All right. John, I want to thank you very much for coming on. I do want to point out for you Ouya fans that there is...
one of you?
Dozens, literally dozens.
Dozens.
Sorry.
I don't say it very often, but fuck you, Larry. I do want to say that I'm trying to get a copy of the Ouya server so that I can actually like have every game running on all the Ouyas within the quorum. We do Ouya every time. I want to do it bigger. I want to thank you very much, John. Jonah and I spent a lot. Jonah loves the Ouya. Yeah, my son loves the Ouya. We spent so much time doing indie games. It's the system that got me really into indie games, so I'm really excited about doing that. I did do a trade. By the way, when we traded, I actually took the money and bought a development Ouya. So I have a dev Ouya, which I thought would be a little bit more for the
crew.
Yeah, so now we get another couple, but the plan is to do a whole Ouya light display, and we call it the Ouya Wall.
Yeah,
I'm really excited. Ouya really did bring indie gaming to the forefront.
So literally our first competition
was on Ouya. Yeah.
This is a conversation for a whole other show, but now like that the playground that other console had come up or whatever. Like the Ouya was like, wait,
we had that one too.
Yeah, I was like, okay, this is a topic for another show, but
I need a reminder.
Telephone contest.
Where is Hug Arena on Ouya?
No,
that is Pico.
Pico 8.
Towerfall.
That was amazing.
God damn it! Yeah, right. All right, I do have to wrap it. I want to thank you all very much for watching Guys, Games, and Beer. If you enjoyed it, you can go to www.guysgamesandbeer.net. Check out the website. You can, by the way, every hub is tied into it on the right side of the screen, even though we don't update the main site very often. You can go to www.facebook.com/guysgamesandbeer, where there are regular updates from Dallas, our master meteorology, with memes that might make you lose sleep, to be honest.
Oh, yeah, they will.
There's been a couple of times where I've had to cleanse my eyes.
End your job. Don't look at them at work.
Do not look at it at work. Do not ever. Do not. All right.
Hey.
All right. And finally, www.youtube.com/guysgamesandbeer. Next visit is EverCon.
Like Wausau, Wisconsin, guys.
We're only a month out.
Yeah, we're only a month out. So literally, if you haven't gotten your tickets yet and you haven't been there yet, we are going to be at EverCon in Wausau, Wisconsin. Truly a great show. It's a charity show. Great people who run it. Cannot wait to see you guys again.
I bought Sabres.
Just for that show, didn't you, Larry?
Yeah.
All right, so like, the show is amazing.
The Sabre attack.
We're going to be bringing something new that we've never bought in there before, so definitely check that out. If you guys have been to our previous shows, wait.
Yeah, good, keep going.
All right. If you've been to the previous shows, you know we bring out a lot of good kits. We're bringing out even more gear this year. We're going to be bigger and better than last year. Something we've never bought to EverCon is going to be there, so come and check it out. I'm going to leave it as a surprise.
All right, next is Midwest Gaming Classic.
Possibly CyberCon.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about that.
All right,
it pisses
go
me
with
off
Midwest Gaming Classic. Go with Midwest Gaming Classic.
Because I love CyberCon.
We love CyberCon.
I love CyberCon. I mean, all right, so Midwest Gaming Classic is coming up as well. I think I'm going to 2DCon at this point.
We're really jumping ahead of the schedule on that one. Right?
I'm sorry, but I kind of made a decision to.
I'm really excited, but we should probably tell people about Midwest Gaming Classic.
Midwest Gaming Classic, of course, is
Bad with Power.
Has been our premiere for years. We do a lot of new stuff at Midwest Gaming Classic.
And we have new stuff for this year.
And we have new stuff for
Daytona, our Super Bowl.
I'm trying to get a deal with the Leo people play it hard to their chest. I'm going to tell you right now. By the way, I want to note that Fist of Awesome, our poster, is one of two posters that are in existence. And first one was at the Ouya headquarters. And the second one, Guys, Games, and Beer owns.
Studio. So, all right. Rob,
anyway, I'm excited. I've got some stuff I'm working on for the whole Ouya thing.
All right.
I want to thank you all very much. God damn it. Why are you people so hard? Anyway, I want to thank you all very much for watching. If you enjoyed it, again, give us a thumbs up on YouTube if you're on there. Also note that we are on all the podcasty places as Guys, Games, and Beer. You can search for us and find us. Every one of them. I'm not kidding.
All right. Thank you so much, John.
Thanks, John, for coming on.
Bye, all.